Welcome to Business Technology Perspectives, a podcast which is part of the Tech Talks network. And you might know me from the Tech Talks Daily podcast, which covers a different area every day of how technology is impacting our work, our life, and even world. But right here on Business Technology Perspectives, we're going to examine the crossroads of where business strategy intersects with technological evolution. Well, today I'm joined by one of the leaders from Logitech, a company that has spent 45 years shaping the way humans interact with technology. And while many know Logitech for its mice and keyboards, the company has evolved into a major force in video conferencing, workplace technology, and AI-driven solutions. Solutions that are designed to enhance how we work, whether that be in the office, at home, or anywhere in between. So today, I want to learn more about how Logitech's technology is making hybrid work more effective and equitable, and ensuring that everyone has an equal voice in meetings, not just in the room. So we'll discuss the role of AI in workplace collaboration, how companies can attract and retain top talent through workplace flexibility, and why the focus should shift from where people work to how they work. But with so much discussion around return to office mandates, workplace surveillance, and real estate utilization, how should you as a leader think about the future of work? Is your organization investing in technology that empowers your employees, or are you simply trying to regain control? If any of this resonates with you, you're going to have a great time today. But enough scene setting from me. It's time for me to bring today's guest onto the podcast now. So thank you for joining me on the podcast today. For people hearing you for the first time, could you just tell them a little about who you are and what you do?
I'm James Campany. I currently run the B2B business for Logitech across Europe. So that's all of Logitech's sales to any companies, businesses across Europe. So in all of the areas. So that's working with the partners that we have, selling into the customers, but also directly with customers and looking for any engagement with Logitech at all. So non-consumer, I suppose, as we define it, is what I do currently.
And of course, Logitech is a globally recognized brand, huge company. But one of the things I always try and do before finding out more about that is a little bit more about the origin story of my guest. So I've got to ask, what was it that initially drew you to the world of tech? And how has your personal journey in the industry evolved over the years? Or as someone that watches too many of those Hollywood movies, what's your origin story?
So, the world of tech, that's an interesting one. I went to university, did electronic engineering at university. Don't know if I deliberately planned that, but I ended up there. When I left, I went over to do some oil exploration, actually. So I ended up oil rigs out in the North Sea, which is a bit strange. And then it was completely by chance that I got an opportunity to start installing, you probably don't even remember this, Neil, at your age, but X25 terminals in shops like the old Allied carpets. So basically, really early stage computers and early stage sort of networking that sort of ended up there and just really sort of drove through. And as the industry has changed, I seem to have gone along with it. Each change, you know, as the internet came in and now, you know, as we've gone further into technology, I seem to have just gone into, you know, various companies around IT. So it wasn't a deliberate plan. I just happened to be in it. And I firmly believe I'm probably the most exciting industry there is out there. So I'm very pleased where I've ended up.
And one of the reasons I always ask that question, I think a lot of younger people place so much pressure on themselves and they must have that perfect plan and everything. And almost every guest that I've spoke to in 3,500 interviews, none of it was by some kind of master plan. My journey wasn't a master plan here. And fast forward to present day, I mean, how is Logitech, how's that helping workplace leaders create a future-ready, productive environment? Because we've been on quite a journey ourselves over the last 5 years, from working at home at scale to hybrid working. So what are you doing around this? And what have been your biggest challenges and equally opportunities?
I mean, Logitech in itself, I mean, it's 45 years old. I mean, you talk about being a global company. It's been around for a long time. But if you think about, you know, where its origins are, you know, from the first mouse it created, and really what you think about is Logitech's whole remit has been to connect a human being to the digital world. right from the very first moment. So it's all about how we connect humans to the digital world, whether that be right at the beginning, which was a mouse, you know, how that works, and then connected to the computer, to keyboards, through to video conferencing systems, and now even interaction with AI. So it's completely continuing sort of that role of connecting humans to the digital world. So I think that's our role. I mean, that's what we do, and that's what we continually look for, to how to look at how the workplace is evolving, how people are changing the way they work, and how they need to be empowered in the choices where they actually work, you know, the buildings they're in or the places they choose to do their work. So that's really our job, is how to connect them and to make them most valuable in the places they are, you know, working from.
Yeah, and I think, as I said, we've been on such a journey over the last 5 years. And in terms of hybrid work, how do you think organizations can better shift their mindset and focus on how people work rather than where they work? It's something a lot struggle with, but any advice around that?
Yeah, I'm quite passionate about this, I think, because I've been doing this for a long time now in collaboration spaces. I've worked for a number of different software companies as we were doing, you know, distance working and digital working and working from video conferencing rooms. And I think the thing for me, that it was almost over a couple of decades, really, that people started to work in a hybrid manner. So, you know, I was having conversations with the flying doctors in Australia about 15 years ago, talking about whether they could do consultations over video before they actually had to get over and travel those vast distances. So over that sort of couple of decades, people just got used to being and working in a hybrid manner. So it started out, you know, as a casual day where people would, you know, wear their jeans for the first time in a week, you know, rather than being in a suit all week. And they would perhaps not have to go to work on one day. And as we started to get broadband at home, you could start to do video meetings. And that was happening. And I think sort of pre-2020, we were in a pretty comfortable hybrid way. And actually, it was at the point where COVID and the pandemic hit that everything kind of stopped. Everything just, hybrid just stopped, and it became work from home. And that was the thing that really made a big impact on the 20 years evolution of hybrid. So now we've come out of the pandemic, people are looking how to get back to the hybrid. And I think this is where some businesses are maybe slightly misguided, and they're thinking that is about forcing people back to the office. Whereas actually, it's really trying to get people back to being hybrid again, where we shouldn't be concerned too much about where people work. We should be about empowering them to work in the best way possible where they're working from. So I think that's, you know, interesting for me is hybrid isn't get back to the office for 3 days a week or get back to the office for 4 days a week. It's about saying, when you're in the office, how productive can you be? When you're not in the office, how productive can you be? And that's what I think we are in a perfect position to do as Logitech, in terms of connecting people wherever they're choosing to work from, and however they're having their meetings or conducting their business, you know, if it's in a coffee shop, if it's in their living rooms, or if it's in their office, how can we enable them to be as productive as possible? So that, I think that's where that we've got to get back to that point where hybrid is allowed and is accepted, and it's not forced, and you know, it's not regimented. I think that's the place we are, and it's funny because everyone looks at the change being post-COVID, and actually I think it was all pre-COVID, actually.
Yeah, such a great point, and I completely agree with you. And I think it's about giving the teams the flexibility and the tools that they need to complete whatever task at hand they've got. There will be instances where they need to be in the office, they need to have that face-to-face time, but equally, there will be those moments when you need to be at home and not being distracted with a tap on the shoulder every 5 minutes. So I'm curious, what role do you think technology plays, or indeed Logitech technology plays, in ensuring hybrid work equity too?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really important role. As I said at the beginning, I think our job in Logitech is to connect people to the digital world. So if our meetings are digital, so we're having a meeting now over Zoom, and you know, our job is to make sure that you can hear me really clearly, and our job is to make sure that you can see me really clearly. So we have tons of technology around this. So, and things you won't even notice, but you know, the camera I'm using here, which is on one of our later webcams of one of the Brio family, is really adjusting for light. You might see there's got a streaming light coming in from my office window, but the camera is really adapting constantly to the changing environment I'm in. And the sound, it's cancelling out all the noises from a squeaky chair from the people in the background in my office, is making sure that you can hear me. So all of the technology we have is allowing me to be as productive as possible. I don't need to be in a meeting room in the office, which is, you know, soundproofed with a, you know, big heavy door to stop it. I can use technology to enable me to have the best possible conversation with you without needing to go to a particular location. And that is a true for everywhere I work. And Logitech takes a part in that. So really, from my point of view and from Logitech's point of view, is wherever that individual wants to work, we need to provide them with the technology which allows them to be as involved as possible in a meeting, in whatever work they're doing, whether that be, you know, our tablet cases which take an iPad and make it, you know, into a almost a computer that they can work from in a coffee shop, or whether I can get my home set up here, or whether I go into an office in a large meeting room. All of those components of being able to connect an individual to the meeting in the most productive way is what we do, is what our job is.
And I think we've done absolutely brilliant here, but we've not mentioned AI in our first 10 minutes, but we need to, of course. We are entering the third year since the world went absolutely mad over all things AI or generative AI. So I'm curious, how do you see AI assisting employees in that day-to-day work that they have? And what are the main benefits that you're seeing here with AI?
AI has been around for a while. We started to talk about the journey of AI from machine learning all the way through now to generative. So I think AI, we've had AI in our products for practically 7 years, really. If you think about our cameras and room systems are not, they're not switching based on who's talking. They're actually looking for the triangle between the shoulders and the head of individuals in a room, so they can pick out individuals in a room. So our cameras are looking for individuals in a room, and that's you know, AI, that's the proper use of it. And I think our technology continues to do so. Now, generative AI is a massive change in the world, but I see some of the arguments around the change that we're getting in AI, you know, whether it's going to be the solution to world hunger, or whether it's going to be, you know, the massive change to everyone's jobs. I see it very similar to the way the internet came in the first time, where everyone was able to connect and do business. You never have thought, you know, 20 years ago, 30, when the internet came in, thinking about time. At the time, that what you could buy over the internet, how you communicate over the internet was incredible, an incredible change. AI is a bit like that. And I think embracing AI is the key to success. So I think if you use AI every day, I don't think there's a killer app yet defined for AI. I don't think anyone's looking for, you know, you have to download this in order to get, we've got various AI programs we can ask questions to and they can give us information. But I think we're still looking to how to get the best out of AI. I use it daily and I try to use it, you know, in my planning. I try to use it as a sounding board. So I ask AI questions and I take those questions and I adapt them and I keep on questioning the different models to see what information I can get. So from our point of view, Logitech's point for you is how we get the interaction between the human being and AI. For how we use generative AI, I think, you know, the future is. I'm very excited about what it's doing, but I think the key is to use AI to ask it questions, to challenge it. I mean, it's to use it the right way, and I think that can really be, you know, transformative in the way we're doing business today.
Completely with you. And I think one of the responsibilities that we have here is ensuring that technology makes workers' life easier, gives them more options, more tools in their toolbox to do whatever they need, wherever they are. And of course, providing a scenario like that or a workplace like that is what is going to attract and retain employees. So what do you think companies should be doing to stand out in today's job market and not only securing talent, but retaining that talent too?
I mean, this comes down to go back about this hybrid work thing, doesn't it? I mean, I've interviewed lots of people. I don't know what generation we call them now, but they certainly are interviewed people who one of their first questions or one of their first thoughts is, do they have to come to the office? Do they need to travel? All those things. And I think we've gone through the phase, I think, of, you know, who should be in work, how many days at work. And now it should be, how do we get people as productive as possible? So how do we make the workplace as inclusive as possible, but also as attractive as possible? So people want to come to work. They want to have those meetings. They want to be involved in the community of work. And I think that's the biggest thing to stand out for as you are advertising a job, is not only the job role itself, but actually the community and the company you're joining and how inclusive it is and how appealing it is to work for, really. So we go away from that initial, you know, I'm very comfortable, you know, working from home or work, and it becomes less of a location and more about the company and how it empowers the individual.
And at the dark side of hybrid working and remote working, and something we've seen over the last few years, is something called workplace surveillance. It's continuously evolving. Workers indeed have adapted with it. I've seen so many videos on YouTube of people attaching a mouse to a fan and things to stop the screensaver kicking in and give the appearance that they're working. But how are you seeing workplace surveillance evolving, and what impact does it have on employees and their productivity?
I think the term is difficult to call it workplace surveillance. I mean, workplace surveillance, in my view, is wrong. You know, just being staring at people and watching people what they do, that's wrong, doesn't make sense. Unless it's being used for a particular reason. So we talk about environmental reasons. So how is the office being used? How are the meetings room being used? Are the oxygen levels in the meeting room at the right level to keep people alert and interested? So if you've got a closed meeting room with no windows, you know, if there's a few people in there and it gets too warm and the oxygen levels go down a bit, actually people get tired and it's not very effective. So I think that kind of monitoring is really, really positive. I don't think staring at people to make sure they, you know, the equivalent of clocking in, clocking out is a very good thing. I think it's a very bad thing. But I think observing people in the office and how the offices are used are absolutely essential into understanding how we design offices in a better way so that breakout areas are really useful. So I think we've moved from maybe the Californian style of bean bags and, you know, cans of soda in terms of that's how you break out and that's how you relax, to now being, you know, the water cooler meeting, the area, the canteen area. Those things are adapting all the time. So I think it's really important that we take a view and we look at people and how they're using the space to really design that space better, so that we know that if people are comfortable sitting around the coffee machine having a conversation, why shouldn't we put some technology there which allows someone in a remote location to join that conversation? So I think that sort of monitoring of the workforce is important, but only if it's done for the right reasons. If it's done, as I said, to replace the clocking in, clocking out, that's not a good reason. But if it's done to improve things, then I think it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing. And I don't think we should be too paranoid about it. I think employment laws would probably stop anyone from being fired for not sitting at a desk for 9 hours a day. But I think we can learn a lot, and we can make the place a nicer place to be if we do observe people in those locations.
Yeah, 100%. And you're very fortunate in the position of being able to talk with so many big businesses and brands around the world. So from everything that you're seeing, how are companies creating a productive work environment without relying on surveillance tools as such? Anything else that you're seeing or even promoting at Logitech here?
No, I think it's about empowerment. It's about getting people to be as best connected as they can be. I mean, we often talk about meetings as, you know, part of the work, but obviously meetings are part of work. So our view is to try to get, no matter where you are, to be as connected into the meeting as possible. So if you're sitting by your desk, how do we make sure that you're as connected into the meeting as possible? How do you connect with your colleagues and even your customers as effectively as you can be? And that's about what IT does. So whether you're in a large meeting room or sitting by your desk, it's about making those connections and empowering the people to be as important in as a meeting as if you were there face to face. I mean, that's really what we're trying to do.
And I do think sometimes we underestimate the impact that technology can have on the workplace in areas that you don't automatically associate with technology. So is there any advice that you'd give to business leaders looking to create a more inclusive and productive work environment using Logitech technology, of course?
I think, you know, if you look at a meeting room scenario, again, we're going back to meetings a bit, I suppose, but sometimes when you've got a different group of people in the room, you get a number of people in the room, a number of people dialing into a meeting. It's very familiar now, dialing in, you know, not really dialing anymore, but, you know, joining the meeting via a technology. The key thing is inclusivity is people are seen and they're heard. And because if you're remote and you feel excluded because, you know, you're not powered, you're clipped, your audio is wrong, the room can't quite hear you, or if you're in the meeting room and you're sitting in the back of the room and you're not at the top table, you know, opposite the CEO or opposite the manager, you know, you're not heard. The idea of the technology is to say, how do we balance that all out? How do we get that inclusivity into the meeting so that wherever you are, if the meeting, if you've been invited to the meeting, you should be an equal participant in the meeting. You know, that's the point of having a meeting. So the technology is about making sure that you're heard, you're seen, and you have your chance to give input. So that's what we're about in terms of technology. And I think that's, you know, that's the inclusivity to be making sure that everyone in a meeting is present, everyone is involved, and everyone can be seen and heard.
Love that. And I'm curious, from all the conversations you're having internally, maybe some internal meetings on a daily basis, and all those conversations that you're having with businesses around the world, if we put all those conversations into a big melting pot, what is the key trend that you're seeing shaping workplace experience management today? And what role is technology playing in that too?
That's a great question. And it's funny because I would have thought it had ended by now, but I suppose real estate utilization is probably the key thing. And that's a sort of big summary of everything. Because it was that kind of hybrid stuff. It's still going on. It's still probably the key conversation that happens now is how do we get those workers back to the office, or how do we empower workers? So it's that. And the real key thing, and you can see it in London now, lots of big companies are moving out of some of those really large spaces and moving back into the center in smaller locations. And the question is, when you've got a certain group of people that were getting used to, as I said, over 10, 20 years, they were sort of mixing how often they were coming to the office. Now, if you get everyone back into the office, I don't think you've got the real estate space. So now it's about saying, how do we empower people wherever they are? How do we get the right spaces in the office? So it's no good having a massive office just full of desks, because that's not how people want to work. But what, do you take out half the desks? And then what do you do with the rest of the space? How many meeting rooms do you need? Does someone need an office? If you do have to have a one-to-one meeting, where does the office need to be? You know, and as I said, the environmental concerns. So all of that utilization of office space, I think, is the key thing that companies are looking for. And I, like you, read all the articles about people going back to the office, either getting people to come back in a certain amount of times a week, or getting to come back in the center of London, or moving the office space out in different parts of the country. And I think the key thing is, it's how to get the right environment for people to want to come back in, and when they're in, that they can be as productive as possible. And again, that's what we do. You know, we're trying to look at every space, enabling every space, small meeting rooms, large meeting rooms, open spaces. How can we bring technology to aid people to be able to communicate and to collaborate as efficiently as possible?
And I think that is a powerful moment to end on. So much food for thought in there from our conversation today. And anybody listening, business leader, or wanting to find out more information about some of the B2B work you're doing at Logitech, and finding out more information on anything we talked about, how you might be able to help, anywhere in particular you'd like to point everyone listening?
But that'd be a great one for you. This is a test, Neil. I'll say, connect to me on LinkedIn, or message me on LinkedIn, or in, you know, go to obviously any of the sources of Logitech information. I mean, Logitech is a very, very well-known brand, so you can get the information you need, but I'm very happy to follow up with anyone who wants to ask me a question on this. Just click me on LinkedIn and we can start talking.
Awesome. Well, I'll add a link to your LinkedIn profile, and indeed the business side of Logitech, so people can find out more information nice and easy. We covered so much in 30 minutes today. We didn't dwell too much on AI, so that's a big win for me as well. But more than anything, just thank you for sitting down with me today.
Thanks so much, Neil.
What an insightful conversation there about how Logitech is helping shape the future of work, not just with better hardware, but with technology that can foster collaboration, inclusivity, and most importantly of all, flexibility. Flexibility to work from any location, at any time, and on any network. And one of my key takeaways from today's discussion is that hybrid work isn't about forcing employees into an office. It's about enabling them to be more productive anywhere. And Logitech's innovations in AI-powered video conferencing, smart workplace design, and mobile productivity tools all from the outside looking in, all seem to be about empowering people to do their best work, no matter what the setting is. And I think we touched on the big shift in workplace design today, from offices being desk-centric to experience-driven. And businesses are rethinking real estate, meeting spaces and collaboration areas based on how their employees actually use them. And there's a lot of data around that too, which is well worth looking into. And yes, of course, AI is playing a crucial role, not just in enhancing video and audio experiences, but in helping reshape how businesses optimize their working environments. So as every company navigates the evolving world of hybrid work, time to bring you into the conversation. Is your organization focusing on productivity, flexibility, and or will you admit you're trying to turn back the clock to outdated ways of working? And hey, we always used to do things this way. I'd love to hear your thoughts. How is your company approaching hybrid work and workplace technology? Let's keep the conversation going. I will put a link to my guest's LinkedIn, as I promised a few moments ago. Equally, if you want to connect with me, techblogwriteroutlook.com, LinkedIn, X, Instagram, all those platforms, easiest guy in the world to find there, Neil C. Hughes. But enough from me. I'll return again tomorrow with another guest from another industry. Thank you for listening, as always, and I will speak with you all tomorrow morning.